Let's open our Bibles together, please, in the book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel chapter 33. Let's follow the reading of God's precious word. That's Ezekiel chapter 33. And we're going to read the first 11 verses of this passage of God's word. That's Ezekiel chapter 33, and we'll read verses 1 to 11. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, When I bring the sword upon the land, if the people of the land take a man of their coasts and set him for their watchmen, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning, his blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. And if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity. But his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth, and warn them from me. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die, if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity. But his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, and if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity. But thou hast delivered thy soul. Therefore, O thou son of man, speak unto the house of Israel. Thus ye speak, saying, If our transgressions and our sins be upon us, and we pine away in them, how should we then live? Say unto them, As I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? Amen. And we know that God will add his blessing to the reading of his precious and his infallible truth for his name's sake. Amen. I wonder, have you ever had the opportunity of meeting somebody, and whenever you've spoken to that person, you felt that they were meddling in your affairs, and you felt like saying to them, would you please mind your own business? I want to ask the question, is your sin my business? Is your sin my business? You know, maybe whenever you hear a preacher denounce some particular sin that you're involved in, and you feel like telling him, well, preacher, would you mind your own business? It's my life, and I can do whatever I want. You see, if someone says, mind your own business, or it's none of your business, you really are telling them not to ask about something that you believe does not concern them. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 4:11, and that ye study to be quiet and to do your own business. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 15, let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer or as a busybody in other men's matters. I read a poster, and it said this, my life, my choices, my problems, my mistakes, my lessons, not your business. Mind your own problems before you talk about mine. I was also reading about this when I was thinking about that. I read the story about a man who was recording how that he learned a lesson about minding his own business. He was walking along one day past a mental hospital. And as he was walking past this hospital, all he could hear from inside, he could hear people shouting, 13, 13, 13. Now he wondered what they were shouting 13 for. He tried to look over the fence, but the fence was too high. So therefore he couldn't see what was going on. All he could hear was these voices shouting, 13, 13, 13. The fence was too high, and therefore he looked for to see, was there a crack in the fence? Decided, and he noticed there were these two planks, and there was just an opening there. And of course, he put his eye right up close to the opening, and he looked in. And then all of a sudden, one of those inside the hospital, they just stuck him with a stick in the eye. And all they could hear was this, 14, 14, 14. You see, they were minding somebody else's business. You know, Eleanor Roosevelt, the First Lady of the United States, said this, "Great minds discuss ideas. Average minds discuss events. And small minds discuss people." Jackson Brown Jr. said, "Let the refining and the improving of your life keep you so busy that you have little time to criticize others." Or another quote is, "While you are too busy minding other people's business, who's minding yours? Who's minding yours?" And then one last quote, "A hard thing about business is minding your own." But here's a question. Is your sin my business? Now, before you get arrogant and you tell me to mind my own business, I want you to come with me to the book of Ezekiel. Because in this 33rd chapter, it says, "Again, the word of the Lord came unto me." Now, you'll notice in throughout this chapter, chapter 1, 2, 3, 6, 7, 12, 13, 15, 16, it talks about the word of the Lord came unto me. The word of the Lord came unto me. It's good to get a word from God. And Ezekiel was a man that had a word from God. He was a man that spent time with the Lord. And friend, one of the problems among the Christians today is that they spend little time with the Lord, and therefore they hear little of his voice. Well, Ezekiel says, "The word of the Lord came unto me." And God begins a conversation with Ezekiel with an illustration, with a story. He wants the prophet here in this 33rd chapter to imagine what it would be like if a watchman, a sentinel, or a lookout was standing on the wall and saw the enemy coming. I want you to imagine this, because most of the people in Bible times, most of the people did not dwell within the city, they dwelt outside the city. It was only whenever there was an enemy was approaching and they were in danger that the sentinel would make the alarm and the people would run into the city for protection. And what the Lord is showing here and illustrating here was a man standing there upon the watchtower. He's the watchman. And he's looking out and he sees the approach of the enemy coming. And as he looks out, he sees the enemy coming. Now, what's he going to do? Well, you say that's very simple. He's going to sound the alarm because that's his business. That's why he's there. That's why he's a watchman. And if he's going to do his duty, he's going to give the warning to the people. Whether the people heed the warning or not is not the watchman's responsibility. But it is his responsibility to alarm them and to warn them of the impending danger. But the Lord says, what about if the watchman does not sound the alarm? He looks out and he sees the enemy approaching, but he says, listen, what am I going to do? Should I bother? Is it my business to do that? And so therefore the Bible says the watchman, he does not sound the trumpet. And God says when the watchman standing upon the tower, he doesn't sound the trumpet. God says the blood of the innocent people who are slain, I will require their blood at your hands. Because you failed in your duty. That's what he says there in verse number 6. The last statement, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. Now you'll notice it says here, the very first word of the chapter 33 is, again the word of the Lord came unto me. Because the word of God had come to him on many occasions, but specifically concerning the watchman, it was again. Go back to chapter 3. And in chapter 3 of the book of Ezekiel it says that God speaks to him in verse number 4. And he says, and he said unto me, Son of man, go and get thee unto the house of Israel and speak with my words unto them. Verse number 17, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die. Thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life. The same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but the blood, his blood, will I require at thy hand. And now God is giving him again this same message in chapter 33 concerning the responsibility of the watchman. Now the enemy that's approaching here, friend, is Israel's sin. It's not a foreign invader that's approaching. Now I know that Ezekiel could say, but Lord, it's dangerous. It's dangerous to be a watchman. But God tells him, it's your business. It's dangerous one, but it's your business to be the watchman. There's three simple things I want us to notice in this passage of God's word. First of all, the readiness of the watchman. And then secondly, I want us to notice the responsibility of the warned. And then thirdly, the request of the wronged. Let us look at this passage of God's word and let's learn from it. First of all, the readiness of the watchman. Notice it says this, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people and say unto them. And God is choosing him. Verse number 7, Thou, son of man, I have set thee a watchman upon the house of Israel. In other words, he's commissioned by God. It's not something that he has chosen for himself. God has set him apart for this responsibility. He is a watchman upon the watchtower. He is watching for souls. He's watching for souls. Now, to prepare to be the watchman, I want you to notice what it says, verse number 7. I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel, therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth. And the first thing the watchman had got to do, he was to sit in the presence of God and he was to hear the word at God's mouth. He was rightly to say, I have a word from the Lord for thee. And my friend, whenever a preacher stands upon the pulpit, he has a responsibility to hear a word from God and to preach the word. That's what Paul said to Timothy. He says, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. God says, I have set thee. And a preacher is not someone who chooses to be a preacher. You know, years ago, people used to choose there and say, I want my son to be a minister. Let me tell you, my friend, a minister has got to be called of God. It's not a family privilege for someone to be called into the ministry. It is a responsibility. It's a calling of God. It is a commission. It's an appointment of God. And if God doesn't want your son to be a minister, then let me tell you, better he's never on the pulpit. God says, I have set, son of man, I have set thee a watchman. God says, listen, Ezekiel, I've called you. And he says, I want you to hear the word at my mouth. In other words, you've got to spend time. And the preacher, before he stands in the pulpit, friend, he has got to spend time to hear a word from God. He has got to spend time around the word of God, because he's standing there in God's name and in God's stead to beseech men and women to be reconciled to God. And because of the impending danger, we've got to hear the word, hear the word. And then there to be God's spokesman, because it says, hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. You're God's spokesman. You're to stand on the pulpit and you're to preach the word of God. But let me tell you, my friend, here's a solemn reality. There is accountability with that responsibility and that choosing of God. Because the word of God reminds us that we are accountable to God. We are responsible to him. He says, I have set thee a watchman. And he said, and if you don't blow the trumpet, I will require their blood at thy hand. You ever thought how many preachers have stood in pulpits this Lord's Day? And their hands are filled with the blood of the congregation. They've stood in the pulpit, but they have not warned them in the name of the Lord. They haven't told them about their sin, about the judgment of God that comes because of their sin. They haven't told them about a Christless hell. They have encouraged them somehow that everybody's getting to heaven. There's no hell anymore. There's no judgment anymore. In actual fact, there's hardly a God anymore. You can just live as you like, and nobody's accountable or responsible to anyone at all. But friend, it's not true. What an awful reality for a preacher to go out into God's eternity, friend, and be called to the judgment bar of God to give an account of his stewardship to the congregation that God called him to preach the word. And there's many men that stand behind the sacred pulpit today, and let me tell you, friend, they haven't preached the gospel because the fear of man has brought the snare. They're afraid of what their congregation will think. You know what God says? God says the blood of your congregation. God says, I'm going to require at your hand. And those lost souls that are duped and deceived and deluded going out into God's eternity. But a man will not preach the gospel because he's afraid what others would say. He's afraid of what his elders would say, or his committee would say, or his congregation would say. And God said, let me tell you, listen, far better he was afraid of what God's going to say. And God says, one day I require their blood. And there's ministers all over Ulster and all over this world. And one day they'll stand before God, friend, and the blood of the congregation, of the precious souls of their congregation, will drip from their very hands. And God says, I require their blood. I'll judge you. I'm going to judge you for that responsibility. God says, hear the word at my mouth. And men are standing in the pulpit, friend, and let me tell you, they're talking about everything and anything but the Word of God. Our responsibility, listen, the watchman was to blow the trumpet. And the trumpet is a symbol of the purified Word of God. And the preacher is to stick to the book. He's not to preach his own opinions. He's not to preach conspiracy theories. He's not to preach man's ideologies. He's there to preach the word. And that's why Paul said to Timothy, preach the word. You know, it's amazing. There's preachers standing in the pulpit, friend, and let me tell you this. There's not a Bible verse from the beginning to the end. Not a Bible verse. Well, if their message is not based on the Bible, where is it? What is it? What is it based on? And they're responsible to God. For the Word of God is purified. The Word of God is preserved. The Word of God is powerful. And they're to blow that trumpet in the name of the Lord. Notice what it says there in verse number 2. Son of man, speak to the children of thy people and say unto them, when I bring the sword upon the land, not if. God says, when I do it. And friend, let me tell you, it's not if judgment is coming. Judgment is coming. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. It is appointed unto men once to die. But after this, the judgment. And every one of us are going to meet God, friend. Every man, every woman, every young person in this meeting, you're going to meet God. And friend, you're going to stand before Him. Him. And the great book is open. What then? Are you ready for that meeting? Son of man, hear the word at my lips. And this is the word of God, friend. Hear the word. Son of man, warn them. Warn them from me. That's your duty. That's your responsibility. And if you're not willing to do it, get out of the pulpit. You're not willing to do it, you have no reason to be in the pulpit in the first place. Warn them from me. The solemn responsibility of the watchman. Friend, I don't take this responsibility easy tonight. Because I realize there's a very grave responsibility on my shoulders. And every time we step, Brother McKee and I step up these pulpit steps, there's a verse of Scripture over our head. And it's always unto me if I preach not the gospel. What an awful tragedy that men will spend Sunday after Sunday in the pulpit and talk about the rubbish of the day. And not tell sinners they need to be saved. Not tell men and women, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Not tell men and women and confront men and women with their sin, and that the wages of their sin, the day of payout, the wages of man's sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. Warn them from me. The sword is coming. My friend, before God, let me tell you, I feel totally inadequate for this task. I honestly say before God, I feel totally unworthy to stand in this pulpit to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I haven't a doubt about it. God called me to do it. And that's why I'm here. That appointment of God. The readiness of the watchmen. Notice in verse number 11. Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye, O house of Israel. Why would you die? Just keep your hand there. Go back to chapter 3 again. The initial call. And in chapter 3 and verse number 11 as well, this is what it says. And go get thee to them of the captivity, unto the children of thy people, and speak unto them and tell them, thus saith the Lord God. Then it says this, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear. You see, the response is not my responsibility. What you do with the gospel is not the preacher's responsibility. What you do with Christ, it's not my responsibility. You're confronted. I have got to warn you in the name of the Lord, and irrespective of a response of men and women, friend. We have got to preach the word, because failure, God says, his blood will I require at thy hand. There's, first of all, the readiness of the watchman. Secondly, notice the responsibility of the warned. Go to verse 8. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die. If thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity. In other words, he'll go to hell. But his blood will I require at thy hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity. But watchman, thou hast delivered thy soul. Notice the emphasis, the condition. O wicked man. The word there is lawless. Lawless man. They want their own way. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way. And the word of God says, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but it's a path of rebellion. And the end of that path is death. And dear unconverted person in this meeting tonight, let me tell you, the end of your way without the Lord Jesus Christ, it's death. It's eternal death. It's eternal separation from God. It's hell forever. Christless and lost eternity. Oh, wicked man. Notice how God describes the people that Ezekiel's going to. Go back to chapter 2 of the book of Ezekiel. You see, God knows all about the people that God has called Ezekiel to preach to. And in chapter 2 and verse number 4, it says, they are an impudent children. Impudent. That word means brazen-faced. They refuse to be ashamed. They're as hard as rock. They don't care about hiding their sin. They sin openly. There's not a blush. They're impudent. Friend, that's the way man sins tonight. He sins. Yes, he may try to hide his sin, but God sees it. And some of you tonight have heard the word of God over and over and over again. And before God, listen, you're brazen-faced. You're refusing to be ashamed of your sin. You've hardened your neck. Look at again verse number 4. They are impotent children and stiff-necked. That's what Stephen said in Acts chapter 7, verse 51. He called them stiff-hearted. They were stiff-necked. They would not submit to Christ. That's why you're not saved tonight. Unsaved person, you're stiff-necked. You're not saved because you will not submit to the gospel of Jesus Christ. You will not submit your heart to the Lord Jesus. In verse number three of chapter 2, it says, and he said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation. that have rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me even unto this very day. Rebellious. The word there is stubborn. Stubborn. And friend, it's not that some of you don't know you need to be saved. You know exactly you need to be saved. You know what God says in his precious word. But you won't bow the knee to Christ. You're stubborn in your sin. You're rebellious. You're lawless. Oh, wicked man. But notice their opportunity. Verse number 9. If thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity. You see, God gives them the opportunity to turn. And friend, let me tell you, if you die without, God forbid it. But if a person dies without Jesus Christ in this congregation of Macrofelt, let me tell you, you're going to hell deliberately. You're deliberately going to hell because God has given you the opportunity. Warn the wicked of his way to turn from it. And you know that's what you need to. You see, you've got to repent of your sin. You've got to turn from your sin. You just can't go on in your sin. My, we have got this generation of preachers that stand in the pulpit, and my friend, they just want head counts, and they don't care whether people are saved or not, and they want people just to make an indication that they want Jesus. And just sign a little card, and that's it. Now you can do whatever you like, live whatever you like, sin whatever you like. It doesn't really matter. You've taken the name of Christ, you're a Christian. They're deluding them. It's a delusion. For God says, except you repent, you'll perish. That's what the Savior said. You've got to turn from your sin, friend. You can't of the Lord Jesus Christ. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And God's given you the opportunity. It's not that you've never had an opportunity. How many opportunities has God given you? How many gospel meetings have you sat in? How many gospel missions have you sat in? How many gospel sermons have you heard, friend? And still you're not saved. Listen, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck. That's what you've done. Stiff neck. Stubborn, rebellious. On your way to hell. And you don't seem to care. But God's given you the opportunity. You not meet God at the bar of judgment and the great throne of judgment and say, God, I never knew, because you have known. You never say, God, you never give me an opportunity. In the service tonight, God's giving you that opportunity. The responsibility. If he do not turn from his way, God's given you an opportunity. But here's the tragedy. It says, verse number 9, he shall die in his iniquity. Let me tell you, we all have to die, friend. No matter what age we are, we all must needs die. And I know that whenever a mother is leaving her children, she doesn't want to go. Heather wouldn't want to leave 3 children behind, friend, and go away from them. But we have to. But tell me, will you die in your iniquity? Will you die in your sin? That's the tragedy. It's a greater tragedy than a mother dying and leaving her children, or a father dying and leaving his family. Let me tell you, friend, there's something more tragic. Die in your sin. Jesus says, if they do not turn, God says, if they do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity. But lastly, there's the request of the wrong, verse number 11. Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. And then he cries, turn ye. Turn ye from your evil ways. For why will you die? Why will you die in your sin, friend? Why will you die without Jesus Christ? Why do you face another night? Why do you, friend, how can you do it? Put your head upon the pillow tonight and know that you may never open your eyes again in the morning? And be called out to meet God forever. And yet God pleading with you, turn ye, I beg you, turn. For why will you die? God loves a sinner. God loves you, dear unconverted person tonight. Let me tell you, God has no pleasure in your going to hell. He says, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. But God says, my pleasure is that the wicked turn from his way and live. That's what pleases the Lord. That sinners will be saved. Verse number 5 says, with this I finish. He heard the sound of the trumpet. He took not warning. His blood shall be upon him. People say to me at times, preacher, you tell me that God's a God of love. How could a God of love send a sinner to hell? Let me tell you, friend. It's your sin that you love that takes you to hell. It's the thing that you love, that sin that you're holding on to, that sin that you're embracing, that sin that you, my friend, are holding to your breast, and you will not give up, and you will not repent of it, and you'll not turn away from it. No matter how often the Lord calls, no matter how often the Spirit of God speaks, it says, his blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. I have a soul to be saved. May the truth be engraved on my heart and my mind while I'm young. Oh, how awful a cost if my soul should be lost in hell, if I die as I am. Die as I am. Die as I am. All hope gone forever. If I die as I am. There's one of two ways you'll die, friend. You'll either die in the Lord, or you'll die in your sin. Which one's you? What's your answer? Turn you. Oh, turn ye! For why will you die? What sin's worth it, friend? To turn your back again on God. And go to hell. May God save you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, realize the solemnity of this moment because it's men and women stand at a crossroads. Unconverted men and women have got a choice to make. Choose ye this day whom you will serve. Either sin and Satan. Or turning to the Savior. As our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, let me ask you a simple question, friend. Who's going home with you tonight? Satan? Or the Savior? Will you bow your knee before God and humble yourself and take your place as a sinner? Acknowledge that you've been sinning against light. It's not that you don't know, but oh, you know, you've heard it so often before, but you're still in your sin. Will you call on the Lord to save you? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Remember, the watchman blows the trumpet. He hears the word at the God's mouth, and he warns the people, but the responsibility of the response is yours, friend. You've got answer to God. What are you telling the Lord tonight? Go away, Lord. I want my sin. I want the pleasures of the world. I know they're only for a season, but I want them rather than your salvation. And I beg you in God's name, don't play the fool. It's invitation time. The Savior stands outside your heart. He longs to be admitted, eternal life and part. It's invitation time. What will you do with him? As her sister plays that little verse, just as I am without one plea. Every head bowed and every eye closed before God tonight. Listen, this is a solemn moment. It's a moment of decision. Tell me, friend, what sin is so lovely? What sin is so precious that you would rather have it for a day or a night? Or a short time. And send your soul to hell. What can it be? Will you not turn? Why will you die? Why will you die? Why will you go on another night in your sin? Why will you face eternity without the Lord Jesus Christ? Turn your back on the Son of God rather than turn to Christ and be saved.
as the sister plays that little verse. Is there one tonight in this service and you say, "Preacher, that's what I've done for years, but by the grace of God, no longer. I come to Christ tonight to turn from my sin, to repent of my sin. And by the grace of God, I'll receive Christ as my Savior." If there's a man, a woman, boy, or girl in the service, that's the cry of your heart, friend. "Yes, Lord Jesus, I'm coming tonight. Rejecting you no more." Would you lift that hand right now that I'll see it, friend? Just slip it above your head. Someone in this service upstairs in the gallery or downstairs, I beg you in God's name, do not leave without the Lord Jesus tonight. Don't play the fool. You're not big enough for God, friend. He's almighty. I'll be in the minister's room. I beg you in God's name, don't go away without the Lord Jesus Christ, but come there, and if there's a believer with you, ask them to come with you. Help one another to the cross, but I beg you in God's name, don't leave without the Lord Jesus Christ. Make this your night of salvation. Oh God, in the stillness and the quietness of thy house, shut out the pull of the world. Oh God, shut out the attractions of worldliness and the devil. Because all of the pleasures that he has got to offer will pass away. But oh God, save the lost. This night, for Jesus' sake. Amen.